Well, today let's look at James Emery Fox, Jimmy Fox, nicknamed Double X or the Beast, born October 22nd, 1907, died July 21st, 1967. Born in Maryland, batted right, threw right. His major league debut was May 1st, 1925 for the Philadelphia Athletics. His last major league appearance was September 23rd, 1945 for the Philadelphia Phillies. A .325 batting average, 2,646 hits, 534 home runs, 1,922 RBIs. Played for the Philadelphia Athletics, the Boston Red Sox, the Chicago Cubs, the Philadelphia Phillies. Two-time World Series champion. Three-time American League MVP, Triple Crown winner in 1933, two-time American League batting champion, four-time American League home run leader, three-time All-American League RBI leader, Philadelphia Baseball Wall of Fame, Boston Red Sox Hall of Fame, and then the Baseball Hall of Fame in 1951. He was 79.2%. Seventh ballot winner or receiver of that honor to be in the Hall of Fame. When I see write-ups about him, you can understand why he was called the Beast. Listen to this as the Baseball Hall of Fame and Museum talks about him.
A fearsome power hitter whose strength earned him the moniker of the Beast, Jimmy Fox was the anchor of an intimidating Philadelphia Athletics lineup that produced pennant winners from 1929 to 1931. The second batter in history to top 500 home runs, Fox belted 30 or more homers in a record 12 consecutive seasons and drove in more than 100 runs 13 consecutive years, and that included a career-best 175 with Boston in 1938. He won back-to-back MVP awards in 1932 and 33, capturing the Triple Crown the latter season. Fox was elected to the Baseball Hall of Fame in 1951.
So as you would take a look at him, his arms are just evident. He's not even trying, and they bulge. And players would say that one player in particular mentioned one time that if he was catching the ball blindfolded, he could tell that it was Jimmy Fox just by the fact of the strength of his ball as it hit his glove. Well, it reminds me of a verse in Psalm 18, verse 34. He says, "He trains my hands for war so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze." And I like how Spurgeon talks about this verse. He says, "He teacheth my hands to war. Martial prowess and skill in the use of weapons are gratefully acknowledged to be the result of divine teaching. No sacrifice is offered at the shrine of self in praise of natural dexterity or acquired skillfulness, but rather regarding all warlike prowess as a gift of heavenly favor. Thankfulness is presented to the giver. The Holy Spirit is the great drill master of heavenly soldiers," and I'd say that is the great coach of heavenly players, "so that a bow of steel is broken by my arms. A bow of brass is probably meant, and these bows can scarcely be bent by the arms alone. The archer had to gain the assistance of his foot. It was therefore a great feat of strength to bend the bow so far as even to snap it in halves. This was meant of the enemy's bow, which he not only snatched from his grasp, but rendered useless by breaking it to pieces. Jesus not only destroyed the fiery suggestions of Satan, but he broke his arguments with which he shot them by using Holy Spirit Scripture against them. By the same means we may win a like triumph, breaking the bow and cutting the spear in sunder by the sharp edge of revealed truth. Probably David had by nature a vigorous bodily frame, but it is even more likely that, like Samson, he was at times clothed with more than common strength. At any rate, he ascribes the honor of his feats entirely to his God. Let us never wickedly rob the Lord of his due, but faithfully give unto him the glory which is due unto his name." And I think of a guy like Jimmy Fox, who had the world placed before him, but ended kind of sadly because of bad decisions financially and other things that happened in his life. We don't want to end like that. But while we're big, while we're strong, that we'd remember the Lord and look to Him and honor Him for what He's given us.